This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with the legendary Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge on Perkins Road. Come on by and visit us. Herb and I will be here until 4:30 this afternoon, and then we'll send it to the LSU Radio Network. And then at 6:30 tonight, a playoff game in the SEC, so
That's
to
right.
speak,
That's right.
as the Tigers play Texas A&M, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Build, Build Beyond. I'll give you a couple of scores, and we talked about it right before the top of the hour ended. Tulane with a 45-37 win over North Texas. Ole Miss, 27-14 win over Oklahoma. Man, that was a lot closer than a lot of people thought. Indiana with a big win, 31-17 over Washington. And Ohio State, which was a 25-point favorite over Nebraska, they won 21-17 today. So, man, were the Buckeyes kind of looking ahead a little bit?
Of course.
And that happens. And
that's,
man,
what they do.
Sometimes you get yourself caught that way. Virginia Tech with a 21-6 win over Georgia Tech. And North Carolina, which has really had – you talk about a roller coaster season. Mac Brown's went through that with North Carolina. They win today over Virginia, 41-14. And Notre Dame with a huge win over Navy, 51-14.
Yep.
Herb, we talked a little bit about it with Mark about the return game. And he brought up that that's a real weakness of A&M. Man, when you think about it, and we've talked about it on this show the last couple weeks with Xavion, he has got an opportunity here because I think, you know, we're on the brink of him breaking one and it being a score. I think that could be the difference in this football game, a huge return that either for a score or setting up a short field for Garrett Nussmeier.
That's right. It could be. It's you know, the special teams for LSU has been one of those things that's a little bit, consistent. Well, very consistent as far as field goals, kicking, things like
man,
that.
Man, you got to say great. That. I mean, Ramos has kicked
one,
the ball much better than any of us thought he would.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. He's been kicking the ball very well. Now, on the flip side of the return game, we really haven't had that much of a return game. But that's a part of the football games that's very, very important when it comes to the three dimensions of football: offense, defense, and special teams. If we can create any kind of scores or flipping the field or just a transformation of the field in any kind of way with the special teams, then that can really help the offense. Like you're saying, if Xavion Thomas can maybe return a punt return or a kick return to on the other side of the 50, then that brings the offense to a place where it's a much easier play to get down the field. And then also with that is it also helps the, you know, the, or not helps, but makes the defensive team try way too hard to try to stop it. And then what happens is they overrun things and they make mistakes, they get out of position, they lose their assignments, and then all of a sudden here you go, Xavion Thomas or somebody who's ever doing the returning is making a big play for LSU. I'm looking forward to that. I hope that happens in some kind of way.
Kind of the breakthrough guys, and I brought up his name a couple weeks ago, and I think you're seeing it in Xavion Jones.
Yep.
This was his year. Pete Jenkins had told me, Mike, I think, you know, I didn't use him right last year. well, I had to use him inside because we didn't have anybody else.
Right.
And he said, I think he got maybe a little too heavy. And then we decided, let's kick him outside. But I didn't do him any favors, but we had to do it because we didn't have the numbers. You see the impact of Savion Jones this year. Now, Braden Swinson gets a lot of ink because he's had the sacks or the big plays, tackles for losses. But, man, Savion has really played lights out this year.
Savion has been everything we thought he would be when he came to LSU. And I really appreciate Coach Jenkins saying that he did not put him in position to be successful. Now you see what happens when guys are being put in position to be successful. It just, they turn a corner. It's like a light bulb that comes on. But not just that. It also helps the guys on the other side of the field or behind them or next to them or whatever. So it's one of those things where, here we go, a coach can make just a small, minute change on something that can impact the game in such a serious and large way. So I'm excited for Savion. I think that he's one of those guys that deserves what he's getting right now as far as the stats that he's gaining and the way he's playing football. He's going to get a lot of looks on the next level.
A lot of his size.
But with the way that he's been playing, he's going to get a tremendous amount of looks. And then, you know, on the other side, Swinson is just killing it. So you talk about the two bookends that we talked about earlier at South Carolina. Well, LSU's found a way to find two bookends on their team as well. So I'm impressed about it with it. And I'm so happy, you know, between the two of them, they have over, you know, 77 yards of sack yardage, right, which is important. That's huge. You know, Swinson has 56 and Savion Jones has 22. But it's just we haven't seen that in a while. And we talked about this a little bit last week. When you got those two guys on the outside that put the pressure on the quarterback, it's just crazy. And not just the quarterback, but on the offensive linemen. So these offensive linemen are opening up, and they're opening up too fast, or they're overextending themselves, and they're stretching themselves. And these two guys on the end are strong enough to either bull rush, or they're quick enough to give them a spin move or some sort of other really, you know, aggressive move, a swim move or something, to get past them and beyond to either make a tackle on a running back or to make a sack on the quarterback.
It's sort of dominoes when you watch it, you know, kind of on coaching film, is that when you got those two edge guys sort of pinching the outside and squeezing.
You keep everything inside.
Okay. Then Whit Weeks comes right up the middle and says, okay, I'm going to clean it up for you guys.
Yes,
and
will.
So the threesome there have been able to work so well as a team. And, you know, Whit, I mean, I don't know what more we could say about him that hasn't been said already, but I do think part of his success, and this is why football is such a team game, it has been because Savion and Braden Swinson have been able to get that consistent pass rush.
Yep.
And Whit Weeks has been able to a little freelance, but he's so instinctive, and he hits the right hole to make that big play.
So, you know, it's crazy because Weeks is the guy that's getting all the attention, and deservedly so, because he's the guy that's literally on every play. You know, it's hard to see a play on defense when LSU's on defense and you don't see Whit Weeks out there making the play. The other person that we didn't mention is Greg Penn. Penn is right there next to him, just a second later, that's on the play as well. So when you start talking the two bookends pinching in the offense, and then you got these two guys and Greg Penn and Whit Weeks that are just clogging up the middle, what can you do on offense? And all of this is happening, you know, once they had to make a decision on how is this defense going to look after Harold Perkins goes away. And it's been such a phenomenal thing to see, because now it doesn't feel like a lot of pressure on the coaches. What it is it just allows these other guys to play how they naturally would play in whatever the defense is. And so they're not trying to create certain defensive plays for one specific person. What they're doing is creating defensive plays for sections of the defense in order for it to be successful in whatever the offense throws to them, whether it be, you know, the front seven, whether it be, you know, dividing the play in half, whether it be the field in half, whether it be dividing the field in quarters, whatever it looks like, they're able to do on down the distance plays to make sure that they can be successful on defense. And what you also see is a lot of guys having fun running around the field energetic, just really excited about being out there, making plays. They make a play. They come together as a team. They're dancing. They're excited about each player that's making a play. That right there tells me they've come together as a team, and they know who they are, and they're gelling right at the perfect time.
You know, it's funny you bring up Greg Penn, because I've said this on Sports Talk a couple of times, that I've gotten more phone calls about Greg Penn than any other player. Come on, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out Will Campbell and Emory Jones,
right.
Those guys, or Mason Taylor. But a guy like Greg Penn, because he's not a small linebacker.
Mm-mm.
Okay, in today's age where the linebacker looks like maybe a safety with 10 more pounds on,
yep.
Greg Penn's not that guy. He's a big, tall, rangy guy that can run the field well. And where he's gotten so much better is in the coverage part of the game.
That's right.
We saw that he could get up the field. He can put it in the drive position and get up the field. And then he's got a nice array of moves to use his arms and hands to get around bigger blockers or sidestep heavy traffic. But it's his ability to get in the coverage part of the game that's been impressive. But I've got more phone calls from pro scouts on Penn than any other player on LSU's team.
Like you say, he's got that prototypical size that
they're
looking for, and a little bit bigger, a little bit more. Now, when you start talking about Weeks, he's got 36 solo tackles. The person behind him? Greg Penn with 27 solo tackles. But also, not only that, Greg Penn also has 2 forced fumbles. And that's key. That's important. Whenever you can cause a fumble, cause some sort of a turnover or something like that, that's important. So I know that's what those scouts are looking at as well.
Yeah, he's a playmaker, and also he can help you out on special teams.
That's right.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We'll be back with more Tiger Tailgating right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. We're at the Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Herb and I will be here until 4:30 this afternoon, and we'll throw it to the LSU Radio Network. They'll take it till 6:30 tonight, and then Chris Blair, Jacob Hester take over, give you every play right here on the Big 870 WWL as the Tigers play Texas A&M. It's our Inside the Tiger Den segment brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team, Go Tax Go. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we got on with us Jeff Palermo from Louisiana Radio Network. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Let me ask you, you got derailed and delayed by the Taylor Swift or what?
I tell you what, I left New Orleans Airport this morning. The amount of Taylor Swift merchandise, I thought I was actually in the I thought I was in the Superdome for a second there. It was crazy. I mean, God bless all those people that stayed up late last night and then had to get up early this morning to catch a flight. But it must have been
goodness.
Some kind of show.
Wednesday, as I'm going to work on Poydras, I just took a glimpse to my right, and it was setting up everything. And I'm like, good gracious, look at this here. But you talk about an economic boom for the area. Man, Taylor Swift, you might like her, don't like her, maybe like her music, don't like her music.
Yep.
It don't matter. She's an impact wherever she is economically, because they had the lines for the last couple of days has just been unbelievable. Jeff, when you look at this game, we've talked about the importance of it, and you win here, you kind of have the insider track for a little while in the SEC, and it's really sort of a playoff game built into the season. I think the big advantage here has to go to LSU at quarterback with Garrett Nussmeier. Mm-hmm. Nothing against Connor Wegman, but he is who he is. He's a hot and cold guy, and sometimes you see the good and the bad in the same series.
Right.
I mean, he's all over the board. Now, the good Connor Wegman can beat you. I will say that, can beat you. But you also see some plays like, who was he throwing that ball to? So I think that's where LSU's got to sort of hang their hat. And also, too, you got to see him in high school in Le'Veon Moss at Estruma. That is the straw that turns the drink for the A&M offense.
It certainly is. I mean, when you take a look at what they've done offensively this season, I mean, they've been – much more reliant on the ground game, and you would have to think Moss is going to be fired up for this game. I mean, this kid has got to be just chomping at the bit all week this week, waiting for an opportunity to show that LSU overlooked him. I mean, here was a kid that was originally committed to Alabama, so you know he was he's a really good back. He was in LSU's backyard. They went in a different direction, but for Moss, this is a big game for him, and I think one of the reasons why LSU does have the edge in this game is because of the fact that the quarterback position, they got the guy that's playing better, and you know, Garrett Nussmeier is playing about as well. I would say, you know, just consistently as well as anybody in the country. I mean, there are times that you might watch him for a few series, and he's not going to do anything that is spectacular, but he's not going to do anything to really beat you. And or as far as beat yourself anyways, he's not going to turn over the ball. Connor Wegman had some really, really bad passes last week against Mississippi State, and there was no pressure. I mean, in fact, in two of his interceptions, he threw, and it wasn't like he was being pressured or anything like that. It was just a bad look for him. I guess one of my fears in this game is if he ever does figure it out, Mike, he can get really hot, and that could be problems for LSU here tonight if he somehow is on top of his game. But I don't know if he's got a terrific group of wide receivers to go along with it. So I just think LSU's got is a better team offensively. They're a little bit more well-rounded, and I think you got a better idea of what you're going to get out of Garrett Nussmeier, especially when it comes down to crunch time.
The matchup I want to watch up front, because I'm always a trench guy. I love to watch those sort of setups. And we talked about it last week, the setup with Will Campbell and Landon Jackson. Okay, and early in the game, man, Landon made some plays. Well, Will Campbell got his hands full with this guy. But, man, then after that, Will was like, no more of this. You didn't hear too much about Landon after the basically midway into the second quarter.
Correct.
You got another matchup here is that Nick Scorton, who's a transfer, number 11, from Purdue, transfers to Texas A&M, He's normally a left defensive end, which means he will go up against your right tackle in Emory Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a matchup I want to see tonight because, you know, for both of them, it's a big contest. Now, will they move Nick a little bit? Can't say, no, I want him on Will Campbell. That ain't going to work too good neither. So I'm interested to watch this sort of kind of fight within the fight between Nick Scorton and Emory Jones.
Yeah, it should be a good battle. You know, Emory Jones did not grade out very well, according to Pro Football Focus, based on his performance last week against Arkansas, but yet was named the SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week. So I don't know.
Tell me how that works.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people put a lot of stock into what Pro Football Focus says, but that must have there must have been some sort of grading by the coaches that ended up resulting in Jones getting the honor. And you know, Emory Jones is a guy that's, as we know, is a borderline first-round pick, late first-round pick. More people look at him as probably a guard than as a tackle at the next level. But, you know, LSU's faced some good defensive linemen or good defensive lines all season long, and in particular good defensive linemen, and there was always a concern about whether or not they were going to be able to block. And other than the South Carolina game, I mean, I think LSU's offensive line, especially in pass blocking, I mean, all you have to do is look at the results. They've only given up two sacks, and they've nullified the other team's strength. There was so much of a concern about Ole Miss was going to be able to get so much pressure on Nussmeier, and he had a lot of time to throw in that game against the Rebels. You just mentioned how they were able to handle Landon Jackson, and I would say after really getting blitzed by South Carolina early in the game when they played him, I think LSU's offensive line eventually settled down, and Nussmeier obviously made the plays, especially in the fourth quarter, to win the game. So we've talked about this before, about LSU's offensive line going up against really good defensive linemen, potential future first-round picks, and they've really held their own in that department, especially in pass protection. And I think they have a pretty good chance to do it again. I would expect history will repeat itself here. Now, crowd noise will certainly be a factor in all that, but I'll take my chances with LSU's offensive line in this game tonight.
Did that bother you, though, these penalty 11? And I bet penalties last, they were procedure penalties.
They were. Yep.
Come on, you've played in front of a large crowd before. I think a lot of times, Jeff, that is concentration.
Yeah, I would think so. I think it's a combination of, Brian Kelly afterwards, you know, he even put some of the blame on Garrett Nussmeier, DJ Chester.
Herb doesn't like to hear that. You blame the quarterback for that.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when he put the blame on Nussmeier, but Brian Kelly's also pretty smart, and yeah, I think this has been a rough go for DJ Chester this year. It's been a learning experience, maybe not a rough go. It's been an up and down season for the new starting center for the Tigers, and maybe Brian was trying to protect him a little bit when it came to some of those penalties. And who knows? Once they evaluated the tape and really watched it, they might have pointed out some other things. But yeah, that was a little that was disturbing to see it last week, but give LSU credit. You didn't see that become much of an issue in the second half. So whatever adjustments or whatever discussion they had at halftime, they figured it out, and then it wasn't much of a problem in the second half. So hopefully they learned from that game last week against Arkansas, and that won't be so much of an issue here tonight.
Well, Jeff, you kind of answered my question. I was going to say, you know, like tomorrow night, you know, I'm going to be in the front row watching Taylor Swift with my shirt on, yelling and screaming, kind of like
what?
The 12th man tonight at Texas A&M at Kyle Field. How, you know, my question was going to be, how can LSU bounce back from what they were dealing with last week to, a 12th man at Kyle Field? That's going to be eight times more worse than what you saw at Arkansas. And not just with the crowd noise, but just with them being into the game and knowing football the way that they do. What does LSU have to do? And I know what you're going to say. What does LSU have to do to get that crowd out of the game tonight?
Well, I would love to see a similar start to what we saw last week and LSU take the opening drive and score or score quickly. And that really sent a message, I think, to Arkansas and its fan base that this could be, you know, they're going to have a hard time here beating LSU. Going back to that A&M-Missouri game when Missouri, that was an 11 a.m. kickoff, and that place was jumping, and Missouri just got shell-shocked in that game. And A&M was making big plays after big plays, and they ran them out of the building early on in the football game. And I think for LSU, they got to – you know, they're going to take a there's going to be a wave of emotion. There's going to be a wave of things, especially early in this football game, that LSU's just got to steady itself. And I think the experience that they have had so far this season in – you know, tough environments at South Carolina, and obviously the, you know, that Arkansas fan base, they were revved up and ready to go. I think that, again, prepares them for what they are going to see here tonight. I know we just talked about all those pre-snap penalties, but this is still a veteran offensive line. You still have a Garrett Nussmeier who's cool, calm, and collect, and I think that will help prevail here for LSU. It's been... You can just tell it's kind of hard to rattle Nussmeier. And I don't, even though he made those statements at the Manning Passing Academy saying that Tiger Stadium's way louder than Kyle Field, and I'm sure Texas A&M fans have taken note of that. I think LSU should be able to handle that tonight, the crowd noise. And obviously the best way to do it is, you know, get some early momentum and try to take the crowd out of the game right off soon after kickoff.
Jeff, last question for you. The availability of Chris Hilton. We have not seen him on the football field this year. Coach Kelly sort of indicated that that was a good possibility he would play against A&M. And so tell everybody, everybody has seen it, his great speed, his ability to get pass coverage, and that big strike. LSU's done it a couple times, but Chris Hilton was the guy. Garrett Nussmeier told me this, that's the guy I'm looking for on that deep pattern and what he brings to the table for LSU.
Yeah, he certainly would. You know, this is a very good passing attack that LSU has, but it is missing that really that potential for the real big play where you can hit a 60, 70-yarder on somebody, and that's where Chris Hilton would come into play, not having someone like that. And this season was so lined up for Chris Hilton to really take advantage of that role, and it seemed like he was going to be the guy, and he had talked about it in August how he's finally healthy, and then he suffers that injury really the last weekend of training camp or preseason camp. And LSU's just kind of missed that, the home run ball, if you would, right? I mean, they hit a lot of they hit a lot of doubles. They can get some triples on you. They obviously can get some singles on you, but they lack that home run ball, and that's what he gives this LSU offense. I was, you know, on that final injury report, while it was, and especially hearing from Brian Kelly on Thursday, who really did seem optimistic about Hilton playing. I mean, that was as optimistic as he has sounded all season long about Chris playing. But then to see C.J. Daniels get downgraded from probable to questionable, that one that raised my eyebrows, because we talked about it last week. I really thought that Nuss really missed C.J. in the Ole Miss game. And then when he got him back for the Arkansas game, you saw what happened. They were able to move the chains a lot more easier, you know, he's that possession guy that you certainly need to have. And I really thought that Nuss missed him. So hopefully he's healthy tonight. That would be something that if they do go in this game without Daniels and if Hilton still can't go. But based on what Kelly said, it's more of a conditioning thing now rather than pain when it comes to Chris Hilton.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate you, bud, with your time and insights. And talk to Miss Swift. Maybe she can get you on that plane.
I'm hoping so, man. I'm hoping so. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, right. Jeff. That was Inside the Tiger Den segment brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTellier along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House on Perkins Road, 3535 Perkins Road to be exact. Come on by and visit us. Got a lot of great food, drink specials here. You know, surround sound TVs all across the board that you can watch all the games and also watch the LSU game a little bit later on tonight. And if not, hey, you can listen to it right here on the Big 870 WWL at 6:30 with Chris Blair, Jacob Hester, giving you all the play-by-play action. Someone texted me about Nicholls State, and it's the end of the first quarter. McNeese has a 3-2 lead over Nicholls. Man, I know Coach Rebo was a former baseball player, but this is taking that a little bit to the limit here. But it is 3-2.
Nice.
McNeese over Nicholls. That game's being played in Thibodeau at John L. Guidry Stadium this afternoon. And I'm sure it won't end 3-2 because if you had the under, you'd be really good on, that. Give us your thoughts, Herb, on what you've seen from the young freshman in Tre'Davious Green. Because, man, I look at Tre'Davious and, you know, he's such a big target. As a freshman, you got to build a little bit of confidence.
Yeah.
And you playing the quarterback position, you would understand. But, man, he's hard to overthrow at 6'7".
He is. He's tough to overthrow. But, you know, coming in as a freshman and not really knowing, you know, what type of player he really truly is, what's that chemistry between he and Nussmeier, you know, where is he going to play, tight end, receiver, all this kind of stuff. It's kind of difficult for him to kind of get his footing. But the biggest thing is for him to get some playing time and just be out there on the field and be a part of the whole flow of the game and things of that nature. Now, the other thing about it is just having opportunities. You know, he's only had 4 receptions right now. He's got 30 yards total. His long is 12, and then he's got 2 touchdowns. It sounds like we need to be from the 20 on in, he needs to be in the field constantly, all the time, so we can get the ball to him in a red zone situation and allow him to be able to just do what he does and use his length and his size to be able to go up and grab some balls and some 50-50 balls, as they call them. The biggest thing with Tre'Davious is I think that just the opportunities, having the opportunities, and I think they're going to play him more at receiver than anything, and that's going to be really good for him because then now you have this guy who can run with just about anybody, but he also has the size of a tight end, and he also understands the receiver position. So, and then, you know, we're talking about, you know, with Daniels being out, is he the guy to replace Daniels as a possession receiver? Could be. Could be that guy when it's, you know, 3rd and 6 or something like that, and we need to get the 7 to 8 yards. He may be that guy. But, you know, you're not going to be able to rely on him as a freshman. But what you can do is give him the opportunity so he can start to grow up now. Because I'm going to tell you, I really believe in this LSU team, and I think they're going to be in the playoffs. In my opinion, I think they'll be in the playoffs, and they're going to need every single person that they have that's going to be ready to play during that time.
You know, she'll join us at 4:10, Tracy Coley, but she brought it up to me is how the influx of freshmen.
Yep.
And that catches another, you know, high school senior's eyes that, okay, everybody tells me I can play. Well, look what Brian's doing.
He's playing.
Coach he's playing preferring. Now you got to earn your spot.
Yeah, of course.
Just like Caden Durham had to earn his, just like Tre'Davious had to earn his. And you got some guys along the defensive line. You have to play at this stage. You got to play them.
Look, here's the thing. The freshmen nowadays don't come out like freshmen 40, 50 years ago. These guys look like sophomores and juniors coming out of high school. So they have the ability to be able to do it. And with the circuit of 7-on-7 when it comes to receivers and quarterbacks and DBs and linebackers, what they do from – you know, the age of 8 all the way to 17 or 16, these guys have seen a lot more football than what we have. Like, you know, during the summers, I'd be working with my dad welding, you know, doing stuff like that. Now these guys are all over the country playing 7-on-7 football, right? And so it's a lot different than what it was when I came up. So that's why I think that playing freshman now is much easier to be able to do, not only because of the size and what they look like, but also because of their mental capacity of understanding the game when doing all these different circuits, 7-on-7 and different things like that. So it's really interesting to see, but it's really great to see, too, at the same time that you have some guys that are younger that can either be starters or be full-time players, meaning that they can play the majority of the game and win a letter jacket or something like that, and then be able to be called upon at some point in the season to make a play, and they're ready to roll.
One of the things Bob and I agree upon, and Bob always says it, okay, you can say I'm a backup or a role player, but when I'm in, I'm a starter.
I'm a starter. That's it.
I got to play like a starter because you know what? That guy behind me, you know, he's saying the same thing. If you don't play well, I'm going to take your spot.
I got you. So regardless of what string you are, as we always call it, right? Yeah, first string, second string, third string, fourth string, whatever string. When you're on the field, you are the guy, period. It doesn't matter where the depth chart said you were prior to the start of the game. You are the guy that everybody on the side of you and behind you and in front of you are relying on to make a play right now, period.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. LSU, Texas A&M tonight, 6:30, big playoff-type atmosphere out at College Field. We'll be back with a lot more talk on Texas A&M, LSU, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in hour number two of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here till 4:30 this afternoon. And at 6:30 right here on the Big 870 WWL, it'll be LSU, Texas A&M. And we thought the build-up for the Ole Miss game was something.
Yes.
Man, it's really built up between Texas A&M and LSU.
Yep.
Two teams that lost their openers but were able to bounce back now, and they've made this a roll. And we've seen this.
And they're on top of the SEC right now, both of them.
On top. And it's funny how over the last 7 or 8 years, the home team has dominated here.
Yep.
The home team has won here, and it'll be interesting tonight because if we saw a couple years back, LSU had the game in hand. All of a sudden, man, what it was, 7 overtime?
It was
something like that. Man, they dumped the Gatorade on Coach O, the whole shooting match, and you ended up losing the game late.
Game lasted 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was a long time. Give you some scores real quick before we go to the hour break. Alabama 6-0 over Missouri. They have driven the football, but, man, they haven't protected Jalen Milroe too well. Man, he's getting smacked around pretty good. Oregon with a 28-3 lead over Illinois. A lot of people thought Illinois might give them a little tussle here. Hadn't been that way early on.
Don't look like it.
And at the end of the first quarter, the Texas Longhorns, 14. Vanderbilt, 7.
Oh.
And so, you know, the Commodores, man, it was like, hey, get in the ring. We willing to take you on. We'll be back with more Tiger Tailgate right after this news break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.